This is the life. You know, I don't understand all these young people going on about the cost of living crisis. What cost of living crisis? What's the matter with them? Have they got no understanding of how to deal with money? I don't remember having a cost of living crisis when I was their age. I left school, but at which, by the way, I was taught how to behave myself. I left school, I went to university, you go to university and of course you get a grant and you don't have to pay tuition fees or anything like that, that would be unthinkable. And then having gone to university and having no debt whatsoever, you then go and get a job. And in my case, I qualified to be a school teacher, and I then applied to the local education authority where I qualified in London, and they gave me a job. I then did that job for the rest of my life, being promoted to head of department eventually, and retired at 65 with a jolly comfortable pension, thank you very much. And they go on and on and on about the cost of housing or whatever. I don't understand what that's about. That was never a problem either. It's very simple getting a house in southwest London, where I'm from. What you do is you save up for a few years, and then you buy your house outright. And then the brilliant thing is that once you buy your house for a few thousand, for however much it cost me, I forget what it was now, it must have been, it was somewhere in the region of maybe £6,000, you then watch it appreciate in price, so that now my house is worth, what, about £1 million. It's a fantastic system. And I've got plenty of money. I mean, all you have to do is save properly and learn how to deal with money, and then you'll be fine. But these young people today, they've no idea. They can't do anything. They can't even cook. And that's where this cost of living crisis comes from. I've no sympathy for them whatsoever. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. Now, today I would like to talk about the cost of living crisis, or perhaps as it should be more properly called, the cost of decadence crisis. Because in any other time period, we are, even the poorest among us, living like kings, but yet with incredible access to resources and incredible access to food, to high quality food. But yet we say that we are living in a cost of living crisis. We are not living in a cost of living crisis. We are living in a cost of decadence crisis. But before you say that, oh, I'm some boomer in spirit that's going to blame the young people for everything that's gone wrong, I'm not going to do that. I want to look at exactly what has happened and exactly why, to a certain extent, this cost of living crisis, or rather cost of decadence crisis, is the fault of the boomers themselves, the most decadent generation there had ever been. Now, until this happened, what you always have are Malthusian cycles of society, Malthusian cycles of wealth, in which the population grows until there is not enough resources. The result is a famine and a general collapse back to more simplistic conditions in which large numbers of people die. This had always been the way of things. What we have with the Industrial Revolution is a change in this system whereby the production of food, the production of resources, or whatever, is able to outpace population growth. What this results in is us being extremely wealthy and us having very high standards of living. And it also means there is no population collapse. No population collapse due to famine or whatever, because the population becomes too large, because we keep innovating, we keep developing, and therefore the population growth is always outpaced by the production, and in particular by the production of the necessary resources to fund the society, and also by the production of food. That is most important of all. And so in the general scheme of things, the price of food essentially goes down and down and down as we are able to innovate more and more efficiently and get more and more of it and have a greater and greater surplus. So, for example, chicken used to be a delicacy in the 1950s that you would have once a week if you were lucky. Now, chicken is almost something you could afford to eat pretty much every day. It's a very cheap food because of innovations in the nature of farming and so on, particularly factory farming. Now, what this can be argued to create this system, this is basically a boom, and civilization itself can be regarded as a boom, and what this creates really is decadence. We go from being concerned with farming, where most people are concerned with the production of food, directly to having an excess. If you have an excess, then that excess allows the development, essentially, of a middle class. It allows the more and more people to pursue jobs which are not related, on the one hand, to farming, or on the other hand, to basically protection rackets. And that's what the upper class can be regarded as innovating historically, basically a sort of a protection racket in which you do what they say in return for being protected in times of war. Farming and protection rackets. So you get the development of the city. And in the city, you have all kinds of middle-class jobs, all kinds of unnecessary jobs, all kinds of jobs that with our excess resources that we have, with all our extra money, all our extra resources, we can relax with and enjoy, such as education, such as the artisans, all this sort of thing. Basically, you get the development of the middle class. Now, when there is a bust, for whatever reason, because the climate gets colder and therefore we can't produce enough food, then inevitably what happens is that the cities shrink. There is an escape from the cities back to the countryside. There is a more simple way of life, a more Darwinian way of life re-emerges. And those people in the middle class, people who are poor, we'll have to start competing with the middle class to survive, and the middle class jobs, as it were, will just sort of fall away, and you will again go back to either being a farmer or being basically a soldier. Those two ways of doing things, and anyone who is from the middle class that can't adjust to that change is going to die. Now, those people have always been brought up in a context of struggle. The system that they have been brought up under is life is hard. You struggle. There's high mortality salience, and the society you will witness half of your siblings die. Most people will witness at least one parent die while they are still children. It is a life of struggle. And we adapt to cope with this via various mechanisms. We force ourselves to be able to cope with it. Society raises us, pushes us along a path of life to be able to cope with it through childhood and whatever, being serious and being severe. That was something that was true even of the boomers, that they were received corporal punishment or whatever at school. Life is serious. Life is group-oriented. You are brought up to cope with unpleasant in a sort of relatively Spartan way. Life isn't about you and your feelings. Life is about the group, and life is about struggle and survival, and coping, and being careful, and preparing yourself psychologically and actually, in terms of how you act and whatever and save, for difficult circumstances. I.e., life will be a boom and a bust. During the boom time, you are careful, you are frugal, so that when there is the bust time, you are able to survive, and you have the psychological coping mechanisms to help you to survive. One of those is simply general mechanisms to help you to do so, and the other is religion, which tells you that your life has eternal meaning and everything's going to be okay. Right, that's the system. And that's the system under which we were raised, all of us, until relatively recently. And one could argue that the boomer generation is the last generation that was very clearly raised under that system. But that by that time, we were so wealthy as a population, we were so rich, mortality salience was so low, very few boomers witnessed a sibling die when they were young, that we started to become decadent. And this is manifest in the boomers. They were a period of change from the generation before them, when it was still relatively harsh and whatever, and you still had people that would be sent to school unable to afford underwear and all this sort of thing, to a situation where it's just utterly decadent and nobody has to worry and everybody can afford everything. And they were the transitional sort of situation. And so in that way, one could argue that it is the boomers who have not prepared, who can cope with difficulty themselves, but have not prepared the subsequent generation to be able to do so. Now, how is this the case? Well, first of all, in this generation of ours, whatever you want to call us, Generation X, you never suffer. There is no mortality salience. Almost nobody witnesses a sibling die or a parent die. So there is generally a feeling that everything is going to be okay, almost a boredom of not struggle and of not being put on the roadmap of life where you have to be able to cope with struggle and where you have to be able to understand that things could get very unpleasant at some point and that there could be a bust and you have to cope with it and whatever, and therefore you have to be careful during the boom. You could argue that that is not something that has happened to Generation X, and certainly not to the generations that are younger than that, millennials or Generation Z. Secondly, children have been utterly indulged. So, whereas formerly the purpose of childhood was to prepare you for the harshness of life and to prepare you to be a functioning part of the group and to make you sort of humble and to beat into you the idea that you were a component of the whole and that you needed to learn survival skills and learn to struggle in life and whatever, and that life was harsh. We have a generation of indulged children where it's all about how they feel and them developing artistically and whatever, and not about them being obedient members of society. And the boomer generation have kind of done that. Increasingly, they have not set up their own offspring to be able to cope with very, very serious adversity, which according to Malthusian principles and whatever, will eventually come. There will eventually be a major bust with which they must cope, but they haven't been set up to cope with that. Thirdly, you have the drug of consumption, which you could argue has completely altered people's minds, that we live in this world that is saturated with physical comfort, that is saturated with stimulation, that is fast and the 24-hour news and iPads and everything and internet and we have to be stimulated all the time. And so the idea, to the extent that we're utterly addicted to this, utterly addicted to stimulation and doing things and needing to do things and needing to purchase things and needing to have material possessions, it's like a drug. And it's a drug which every generation since the boomers has been increasingly addicted to, which means they need more and more and more in order to feel good, more and more and more in order to be sated and to feel content. That is not the case with the older generations. Their life is slower, their life is lower tech, and they don't really need much to be content. That is not the case when you're heavily addicted to this drug of basically being rich and having access to whatever you want, whenever you want. Now, the come down then off a drug like that is going to be a total sort of crisis. The next problem is that the younger people have been sold this story of life, whereby basically they are and will be what in previous generations would be understood as the elite. They will have a fantastic and wealthy life in which they will be part of the elite. They will be able to go to university. They will attain an elite job. They will enjoy themselves and go on wonderful foreign holidays and have lots of life adventures and get to know themselves in a kind of lonely planet, the path less travelled by way. And then eventually at some point they may be able to settle down and have children when they feel that they're wealthy enough, and then they will retire in the same way that the boomers did and enjoy themselves. And that's what they've been sold, and that's what they've come to expect. And of course it's a complete and utter lie, because what we have seen is elite overproduction to an incredible degree, which has been caused by the boomers. It's been caused by boomer policies of expanding higher education, with the result that you have all these people who have financially invested in the idea. That's another problem as well, bringing in tuition fees in order to expand it, that they are part of the elite. But so what you have is elite overproduction, and you have all of these extraordinarily unhappy people who are wannabe elites who are competing for a small number of elite places, and there aren't enough elite places, and so what you end up with is an incredibly strong degree of competition among the elites and the aspirant elites, which destabilises society and brings us to a sort of warlike situation, a situation of tremendous struggle, which ironically that very generation who are struggling have not been raised to be able to cope with, and so we would expect them to have psychological problems coping with it, because it's such a difficult, such a nasty situation. It's basically a return, on a certain level, to Darwinian conditions in which you had to severely struggle. And that is why we are living in this age of rage, because of the decadent way in which boomers thought to themselves that this age of wonder, this decadence, will go on forever. And so therefore, why not have a situation where everybody can have a degree, everybody can be middle class, everybody can do some skilled profession, whatever. But it's impossible, because there simply aren't enough elite positions, aren't enough positions in skilled professions to be filled. And so you have all these people that have been sold this lie of going to university, and how in the old days, of course, in the boomer generation, you went to university, 10% went to university, there were about 10% professions that needed graduates, and so you just immediately got a job and there was no competition. That wasn't the case with my generation, when a third of people went to university, and it's certainly not the case now. You know, I think my I know people that are boomers. They never applied for a job. They literally never applied for it. They never got rejected for a job. They just left university, applied for a job. They were the only applicant. They got the job, and that was that. And that's how it should be. That's what a non-decadent society does. A non-decadent society works out how many graduates it needs, and it states that's how many graduates we'll allow. And that's it. And every graduate will get a job in the profession for which they're trained. And if you can't manage to get into university, tough. Go and do something else. You're not good enough to go to university. That's how it should be. But no, the boomers who were brought up in that exact system expanded it with some bizarre idea that things could only get better, and that somehow all of these graduates will magically get a graduate job because things will only get better and anything working class will be shipped out to the third world forever, ad infinitum. And of course, that has proven not to be the case. And it has heavily destabilised the society. So that's the next thing. The next thing with regard to the stimulation that I was mentioning earlier is also that the nature of the people has changed over this period. So we are selecting for extroverts. One of the things that predicts having children is extroversion. Well, extroversion means you need more to stimulate you than was previously the case. The Generation Z are likely to be more extrovert than were the boomers. Intelligence has also gone down, and so this means that people are less group oriented if they're less intelligent. They're more selfish, and this creates more conflict and more unpleasant conditions, and so with which people have not been taught to cope. And then what you also get is we have this general then crisis which Peter Turkin talks about, everything coming at once, elite overproduction, interference from outside, war, whatever, which causes living standards to go down. And furthermore, we are not, because we've become so decadent, we're not really passing on useful information, or they did, the boomers rather, didn't pass on useful information or useful knowledge. So a lot of people who in the generation that fought in the war, unless they were part of the upper class, they would have been taught gardening, they would have been taught how to grow food from scratch, hunting, fishing, all farming, all of those kinds of basic skills. Now, what you get with this boomer expansion of the middle class is even how to cook or how to do basic repairs. These things have not been taught to a younger generation. And so they find themselves unable to do these things, they don't know how to cook. They don't know how to garden. They don't know how to grow food. They don't know how to... So obviously that militates in favour of a cost of living crisis, because they literally don't know, because they haven't been taught how to do things which would permit them to save money, because they have been brought up to think that everything will be wonderful and we'll all be rich forever. And when, as is inevitably the case, you see a bust... And what a civilization is based around is resources. Is resources, in our case, it's oil. and when you see a bust in that, when you see us having less of it, and therefore you have a decline in civilization, a collapse in civilization, then the result is inevitably the people have less money. And a lot of those that haven't been taught how to cope with having less money will be in serious trouble. And for various reasons that I've set out, they haven't been taught. The boomer generation, the most decadent generation, the transfer generation into decadence, the 60s, those people haven't been preparing their offspring for harshness. But they were themselves prepared for harshness, and their parents certainly were, but they haven't prepared their offspring for harshness, or at least on average compared to previous generations. And so that is more what's going on. It's not a cost of living crisis, it's a cost of decadence crisis. And I was looking at a programme, I think I made notes on it. I was looking at a programme in which on the BBC about this cost of living crisis, and I made notes on the various things which these people were doing wrong. So you had the first family, and the first family was a family of four, and they were complaining about not having enough money. Well, the father was a research scientist, and the mother owned a shop. A research scientist and a mother owning a shop. And they were on, between them, £2,000 a month. Now, I don't know how that happens. The only way I can think that could possibly happen would be if the father was actually a PhD student and the mother was running some business that was absolutely appalling and that wasn't making much money. As you look into it, you discover that the mother is running some ridiculous eco-business, some nonsense of a business, which is obviously not going to make any money. Now, why is she doing that? Well, she's been raised... she's been indoctrinated with these silly ideas that we've got so much money that we can afford to be concerned about the environment and whatever. And so she thinks that she's of the view that that's a sensible investment. Of course it isn't, and it's losing money. So she's just made a very bad business choice, and she should have been taught by her boomer teachers not to do that. But she hasn't. She's been taught by society that it's important for the environment, you should recycle, and all this nonsense. You should lay down stuff to the gods of recycling. So that's why she hasn't got any bloody money, because she's chosen to do a decadent, ludicrous job that could only be relevant at a time when people have money to burn. And when they don't have money to burn, they're not going to use her shop. The husband, I suspect, is a PhD student, so he's got no business, frankly, being married, let alone having children. They have two children, and those children have iPads. Those children have snacky foods that are unnecessary, like Oreos. Those children have mobile phones. Those children have basically a very high standard of living, but yet she's saying she hasn't got enough money. No. She hasn't got enough money because they have high-tech stuff, but she's... For her, that just goes without saying that you have to have stuff like that. So the idea that this is a crisis and she hasn't got enough to eat. No, she hasn't got enough to eat while having an incredibly wealthy lifestyle where you have computers and you have high-tech stuff and whatever. that is what she has. That's her problem. The second family was a family of that had, again, a similar income, $2,000 a month between them. And they had three children, which is extraordinary. That's going to cause a problem for you, isn't it, to have that many children on a relatively low income. Though that family, again, similar high-tech, you know, lots and lots of material stuff, loads and loads of material stuff. The woman had loads of jewellery and stuff like this, and she's saying she has a cost of living crisis. She doesn't have a cost of living crisis at all. She has a very high standard of living in a very decadent society, which she can no longer afford because that society is entering a declension. But it is extraordinary to think that she could have that level of wealth and then struggle for food. She's struggling for food because she's not doing sensible things like selling her jewellery. The third woman, and this was almost unbelievable, was a mother, a nurse, with three children, which is insane, and a single mother of three children, which is insane, working 3 days a week, which is insane, because of the cost of childcare, and then moaning that she hasn't got enough money and she has to skip meals and so forth. Again, I noticed lots and lots of high-tech stuff around the house, lots and lots of material stuff, very high standard of living, and also I'd ask, where's the husband? Why hasn't she carefully selected for a man who will stick around and look after her? How on earth has she got herself into this situation? She's got herself into this situation because she thinks that the good times will go on forever and whatever, and it's okay to get divorced, and it's okay to have three kids, and then the husband leaves you by some irresponsible man, and it's okay to have lots and lots of material stuff. So it's not a cost of living crisis, it's a cost of decadence crisis. It's that we can no longer sustain, because of this declension, the very high standard of living to which we are used, and we do not understand, we are unable to cope with living standards declining. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to cook. We don't know how to mend clothes. We don't know how to garden and grow our own food. We don't know how to do all of these things, which would be the obvious response to a declension in most other countries, because the boomers have not raised us to know how to do these things. But the result will be the effective killing off of the middle class and a reversion to a situation closer to what you had in the 19th century, which was a very large upper class. Sorry, a very large working class, a tiny and very rich upper class, and a very small middle class. But what we are seeing, I must stress, is not a cost of living crisis. It's a cost of decadence crisis. Well, I hope this has been of interest. If it has, please subscribe. It really helps if you do that. Remember, I live stream Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York, and I will see you soon. And goodbye!